Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good
amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome again to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast is Kingdom Principles. Kingdom Principles, Pastor Cleophas Malone, Malone Jr. has put this. And he's continuing the series on the building a word culture life. This would be part three. And I believe that he was telling me that this would be the final part of the series here. So if you are listening or you have someone that they can benefit, please share the link. This is on social media, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and actually when Christians Speak, and you can listen to the broadcast there too. Amen. So we can go ahead and get started. Pastor Malone, are you with us today, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, awesome, man. Awesome. Good to have you, Pastor. Thank you for coming on today. So we're going to go ahead and just turn everything over to Pastor Malone and go ahead and get started. Pastor Malone, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity to share the word with God's people. I want to get right into it this evening. This is the final lesson on this series of building a word cultured life. We started off back in January, and we talked about, getting your identity in Christ right, your identity in God right. And we looked at some scriptures over in the book of Genesis and very familiar passage of scripture, of God when you talk to about let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and how do we identify ourselves? So we talked about that. We spent some time in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, with Zacharias and understanding how powerful words are. Proverbs 6 and 2 says that you're snared by the words of your mouth, taken by the words of your mouth. So, I can remember as a youngster coming up, my grandmother telling me, boy, your mouth can get you in trouble, And my peers and my classmates and friends would say something slightly a little more harsher, and I won't say what they said, but it was similar to, don't let your mouth write a check that your backside can't cash. So, your words are very powerful. We talked about, some of the things that that your words reveal about you and I. Our language will locate us, a lot of times people don't know your level of intelligentsia or lack thereof, a lot of times until you open your mouth. The moment you open your mouth, you reveal, who you really are in terms of what your thought life is and so forth. And so we talked about that. We talked about words will let others know what your belief system is, how you think. Your words will reveal your character. How do your words reveal your character? You say one thing, and then you do something else. We talked about what you do in private is what's going to show up in public. It reveals your integrity. Do you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it? When I was coming up as a youngster, men used to say this, is they used to say, my word is my bond. You know, that's what I have. If I tell you I'm going to do something, that's what I'm going to do. If I tell you I'm not going to do something, that's what I'm not going to do. You know, your words portray honor. You know, you can say words out of your mouth about an individual that shows great honor for that individual, or you can say words out of your mouth that display total disdain for someone. It is your humbleness. You are your words. You can speak from an arrogant position, you know, where you sound very arrogant, or you can speak and be very humble. You know, trustworthiness. Are you trustful? You know, can people depend on you? We talked about, you know, to build a word culture life. You must first know who you are based upon how God views you and not how the world views you. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself fearfully and wonderfully made as the word says that you are? Or do you see yourself the way someone has portrayed you? Or maybe a family member has told you that you're never going to amount to anything. You're going to be just like your daddy. You're going to be just like your mama. You're going to be just like your grandparents. You know, your daddy was a drunk. You're going to be a drunk. Is that what defines you? Is that what turns you into who you turn out to be? So words. We talked about the key to understanding who I am is to understand who God is. You know, if God is the creator of man, which he is, make no mistake about it, and he's created me in his image and in his likeness, then I should want to know who the creator is. I would want to be intimately involved with the creator so that I can get a better understanding of me. Because one scripture in the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. So if I'm going to be like him, then I want to know about him, you know? And so the key to understanding who I am is to understand who God is. So we talked about that. We went into some scripture references, and like I said, we spent a lot of time in the first book of Luke talking about Zacharias and how when the angel Gabriel came to him and gave him a prophecy about his wife, and you got to understand that this isn't the first time that God had an elderly, an older couple come forth with a child. You know, Sarah was barren, didn't have any children, you know, and she was up in age when she had her first child, you know, and so here you are, Elizabeth and Zachariah, they're elderly. He even says so. You know, how is this possible? You know, I am, and then he told him who he was. I am. And whenever you use those words, you got to know God used them first. When he told Moses, Moses said, "Well, who should I say sent me?" Yeah, surely the people want to know who you are. And he said, "I am, that I am." And so, if he is, then I am as well. So now he says, "I am. I am old, and my wife is old." So now he's identifying himself with age. And God does, and identifies himself with time, and God doesn't live in time. God lives in the eternal now, right now. And so now he's talking against what the angel is prophesying over his life, and his words are so powerful that if he keeps putting his words on this thing in unbelief, then he has his words have the power to block what God's trying to do in his life. Amen? And so we found over in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it was, and around verse 2, where it talked about there's us and then there's them, and all of us, you know, we've heard the gospel, talking about believers, you know, we've heard the gospel, and there are those that hear it, but then it has no power in their life because they haven't mixed it with faith. See, you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. And see, I can be saying all the right things. I can be saying I'm healed, but I don't believe it in my heart. Now it's just confession with no with nothing to back it up. So you got to have that word that, and then you got to put it with the belief to back it up. Amen. And we talked, you know, so here we are tonight, and what I want to get into tonight, I wanted to bring you up to speed to where we was in case you hadn't had the privilege of hearing all three lessons or so far. So I wanted to bring you up to speed to where we are. We discovered in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So you can say something. I can remember growing up, and you know, my best friend, we were doing high school days, and you know, I remember going to my grandmother allowed me to go to a concert, and you know, and we're going to this guy. I had to be, I guess, 15 or 16 years old, and he comes and he picks me up, and we're riding along, and we're on this dirt road. Pardon me, and the. And he wasn't, I don't know that he was speeding, but, you know, the car starts to slide. And here's what he said. He said these words out of his mouth. He says, one of these days, this is how I'm going to die. I'm going to go around the curve, and I'm going to lose control of the car, and this is how I'm going to die. You know, we went off into the Marine Corps together. We were supposed to go off into the Marine Corps together. We joined at the same time, and when it was going to go in on the buddy system, and a week before we were to go into boot camp, he injured his ankle really bad, and he couldn't go into boot camp at the same time that I did. And make a long story short, you know, I go in, and you know, I'm in the Marine Corps, and about a year later or so after his ankle heals up, he goes into service, and I get a call one day that he was killed in a car accident. And it was him and four other people in the car, and he was the only one that perished. And it really hurt me a lot. And as you get older, you start to put these things together. And I'm, you know, I just know I know what the word says, and I know how powerful words are. And then I look at this scripture that says death and life is in the power of tongue. What are you saying about yourself that does not align with the kingdom of God and aligns with the kingdom of Satan? What are you saying out of your mouth that's not aligning with the kingdom of God and God's will for your life, but it is aligning with the kingdom of Satan and Satan's will for your life? You got to get your words right. You know, it's so easy to be fashionable. It's so easy to say things that sound cute. And in our own thinking, you know, it's innocent. It's just in. You know, I'm saying something. I don't really mean it, but it's innocent. But now you keep saying this thing, and that's what's getting in your heart. The Bible talks about that. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you're learning. You're being trained. You're learning in a system that does not align with the will of God. So now you're saying things that don't align with the will of God. Again, because it's fashionable and it sounds good. You know, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. And you keep saying that, and truly, your finances don't look good, but now you're saying something that's contrary to the word of God. Because Philippians, I believe it's 4:19, says that, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But you're saying I'm so broke I can't pay attention. And you're saying things that are diametrically opposed to what the word of God says. Now I'm saying something, I'm professing something out of my mouth. And remember I talked about the principle of sowing and reaping? I'm sowing a seed that there's going to be a harvest from. Your words. Your words I see. You're saying things that you really don't want, but you're saying things that are producing the things that you don't want. And so we have to start, we have to align our words with the word of God and get our will in alignment with his will so that now we can see the manifestation of the things that we truly want to see in our lives. Man, I'm sick as a dog. And you say that, and now you're saying everything that ails you, and you're not saying anything that heals you. Let me say that again. You're saying everything that ails you, but you're not saying anything that heals you. And then we wonder why we're not getting the manifestation of God's glory in our life relative to healing, because we're constantly talking about the problem. The problem that it becomes the focus, and it becomes so big that now my thoughts and everything is focused on the problem, and I can't focus on the promises of God. And I should be more focused on what the word says and what God says and what the promise says than what the problem is. James 3:5 in the Message Bible says this. It's 3:5 and 8 actually. And it says this: a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, like it doesn't have any weight. I don't really mean nothing by that. But if you keep saying it, then it's getting into your heart and into your belief system. But it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. So if I know my words that I'm saying out of my mouth can accomplish nearly anything, I'm going to say what I want to see. I'm going to say what I want to see. I can't keep saying what I see. What I see is my bank account is broke, is low. What I see is my money is funny and my change is strange. That's what I see. What I see is I have this illness and this infirmity in my body. That's what I see. But what I want to see is what I'm going to be saying. I know what I see. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, I can't be moved by what I see. I got to get the word in my heart. But now what I'm saying out of my mouth is what's in the abundance of my heart. Now I'm in agreement with the word. The book of Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they agree?" How can I walk with God? How can I say I'm walking with God and what I'm saying does not align with what he's saying? That it doesn't work. You can't, you know, a married couple won't be married long if there's no agreement. You get married, it's all about love. You're on this emotional high. This you know, you're excited. You think that you found the one for you, and all of a sudden, two worlds come together. And the two worlds that come together, she was raised one way, he was raised another way. And now this fight comes on of who's going to have superiority. And now my way is better than your way. And now there's a divide, there's a split, because there's no agreement. But what has to happen is these two worlds come together, and now we have to blend these two worlds together, and there has to be some compromise. There has to be some agreement. There has to be the two coming together and saying, okay, I know you come from this background, and I came from this background, but we came together because we saw something in one another, and now we want to make this thing work. So I'm going to take some from here. We're going to take some from there. We're going to put this thing, and we're going to build our relationship, and then if I build it on the foundational principle of the word of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Amen? Amen. So that's a little of the backdrop of where we are up until this point. And what I want to get into today is what I believe are the three main ingredients to building the word culture life. That's what I want to get into today. I want to use my time to over the next 20, 25 minutes or so to really dive into this. And hopefully the prayer is that, you know, I know this is the word that God has given me. So I hope that if one person gets it, then we've accomplished what God has set us out to accomplish. The Bible says if one is converted, all heaven rejoices. You know, if you got 100 people in a meeting and the word is gone for, and one person comes forward to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices over that one. So, turn in your Bibles, your electronic devices, tablets, iPhones, cell phones. Turn to with you to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 46 down to verse 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and the three main ingredients. Let me give those to you now, and then we're going to give you scripture references to back those up, and we're going to expound on it a little bit, and then we're going to close this thing out this evening. Amen. So, the three main ingredients to building a word culture life, the three main ingredients to me in life as a believer. Number one is to make Jesus Lord. Now, understand this. Whether I make him Lord or not in my life, Jesus is Lord. Make no mistake about it. I can't make him something that he already is. What I can do is when I say make him Lord, I can allow him to be Lord of my life. Amen? I don't want nobody sending me no emails and texting me or anything like that saying, oh, Jesus is Lord. You can't make him anything. You're right. Jesus is Lord. All right? Number two, you got to deny yourself. We have to submit our will to his will. I'm going to give my pastor credit for this, and then this will be – now I'm going to take it as my own. But something he said was so profound to me. He said this. He said that the day that you and I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, we fortify the right to do life on our own. All right, let me make it personal just for me. The day that I received Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, I fortified the right to do life on my own. See, I can't do life on my terms and say that Jesus is Lord. I made him Savior. A lot of us have made him Savior. We've gotten fire insurance. But we haven't made him Lord. When you make him Lord, now you submit unto him. Watch this. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to go down to verse 46. And if you study that out, 46. Where we go? Here we go. Luke 46. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I like to tell you what version I'm reading out of just in case when I'm reading the scripture, it doesn't align with what you're looking at. You might be looking at the NLT or the NIV or King James Version or some other version, and I just want you to know what version I'm reading out of because we're going to get to the same place. Amen? Verse 46 says this, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me," verse 47, "whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." All right, here we go. "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Look at verse 49. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation." Who does that? against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Man, there's so much in these passages of scriptures that are so profound. One of the first things I took out of this, when it was talking about this foundation on a rock, and then it said, the latter part of 48, it says, for it was founded on a rock. When all these storms and these winds and this rain and these floods beat up against this house, the house stood. Why? Because it was founded on a rock. And I looked that up and I saw that it was, the word of God is the rock solid foundation to build your life upon. Let me say that again. The word of God is the rock solid foundation to build your life upon. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a man. You're talking about two men that hear something, they hear things differently. One hears something and obeys it. The other hears something and just sweeps it under the rug and says, I can do it this way. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way, singular. There's a way that seems right to a man. But the end of those ways are death and destruction. So there's a way, but then there's multiple ways to death and destruction. You make a decision, you make a choice that doesn't align you with the word of God. And now you're saying things that don't align with the word of God. You're opening the door for Satan to come at you in multiple ways to take you out. That's why it's so important to build your life upon this rock. Build your life upon this solid foundation, the word of God. Jesus talked about in his passage scripture, he said, my word is not grievous. It's not burdensome. It's not hard. It's hard because we make it hard, because the world system seems so enticing, so glamorous, and it feels good. And see, when you live by your feelings and your emotions and your five physical senses, that's what gets us in trouble. That's why the scripture says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight being a symbolism of our five physical senses. Amen? So make Jesus Lord. He says, why do you call me Lord? Lord. Emphasis. Lord, Lord. And do not the things I say. How are you going to call him Lord and say he's Lord of all? But then when the pressure comes on, we will unfold to the pressure, and we don't exalt him as Lord. He's either going to be Lord of all or not Lord at all in our lives. God is not going to participate in our messes. He's not. He's not obligated. Bible says he's not the author of confusion. Then if he's not the author of confusion, the only author of confusion is us. We create the chaos in our lives based on decisions and choices that we make. We do. You have an opportunity to walk away or to put your hand in it or put your mouth on it. You have an opportunity to walk away and say nothing or put your mouth on it. My grandmother used to tell me all the time, she said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. If you don't have nothing kind to say about this person, don't say nothing at all. Don't put your mouth on them. And we do it all the time. And I found that it's prevalent and horrible in the body of Christ. We talk about each other. We belittle each other. And then we talk about each other, not only to each other, but around non-believers. Further enhancing their belief that we're hypocrites. Love you, man of God. Love you, woman of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then you turn around and you say, and you're saying dishonorable things about that person. Like we got it all together. We got it all together. Ain't nothing in our lives. Right? Amen. So we want to make Jesus Lord. We want to allow Jesus to be Lord in our lives. We want to submit to his will. Submit. Our lives can be founded upon this solid foundation, this foundation that's on the rock, on this rock solid foundation, that when the storms of life come, we don't fold. We're not, as it says, the ruin of that house was great. Why? Because we're founded on that rock. That's when we make him Lord. When we choose to live life the way we want to live it, now we become subject to the things of this world. Jesus said this, because I don't want you to get that you and I will not have challenges in life, because we will. John 16:33, Jesus says this, in this life, you're going to have some tests, you're going to have some trials, you're going to have some temptations. He said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome them all. Okay. Then if he's overcome them all, and I'm submitting unto his will, the challenges are going to come, but my house is going to stand. The weapons are going to be formed. The scripture tells us, no weapon formed against you. No weapon formed against you. It did not say the weapon wouldn't be formed. Didn't say it. It says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the reason the weapons are prospering against you is because your belief, the word that you've received, has not been mixed with that faith that puts you in total reliance on the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number two, deny yourself. We have to learn to deny ourselves. Well, what does that look like? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to the to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Y'all all right? I heard. I can hear you say yes. Matthew 16. And let's look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. And I'm going to read down to verse 26. All right? And we're talking about three main ingredients to building a word culture life. Make Jesus Lord, deny yourself, and be led by the Spirit is number three, if I didn't say that already. Make Jesus Lord, deny yourself, be led by the Spirit. Making Jesus Lord, the scripture reference that we use is Luke 6:46-49. Denying yourself, we're going to look at Matthew 16:24-26. And I'm going to back up slightly because, well, let me set it up this way on deny yourself. So Jesus had been with his disciples, and he had asked them a question, I believe, around about verse 13 or so. And he asked them, he says, when he came, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus is you know, asking his disciples, and he's doing it for a reason. He's taking them down the path, and he's doing it for a reason. He's asked them, who do men say that he is? And they gave him some answers. Then he said, okay, all right, I got that. Well, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up. I love Peter. He spoke up for the whole group. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, flesh and blood didn't really reveal that to you. And see, when we're getting a word from God for our lives, I want a rhema word. I want a word that has revelation attached to it, where I can grasp this thing and I can understand it, because the only thing that you and I get to keep in life is that which we understand. If you don't believe that, get you a boatload of money with no understanding. I promise you, you won't have that boatload of money very long, because you don't have no understanding of money. The main reason that relationships typically don't work is because there's no understanding. Agreement, understanding. There's no understanding. The reason you don't keep your job is because you haven't gotten a revelation understanding of what your responsibilities are, and then you won't act and do them at a very high level. You know, you show up to work late. They gave you a schedule. They say, hey, you be here such and such. These are your hours to work. And every day you show up late, and you think it's okay. Well, I was just 2 or 3 minutes late. But there's a pattern. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of those ways are destruction. Now you're getting fired, and you all, now it's their fault. It's everybody's fault but mine. I'm pointing the finger out, and I got three pointing back at me, because it's me. Hallelujah. Verse 24, Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, how did we get here? Jesus had given them the key to the kingdom and all, and he went on to tell them about, you know, he was going to be betrayed and his death and burial and resurrection. And Peter told him in verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, rebuking Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus said, but he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You're trying to put a stumbling block in my way, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. These traditions that we have and so forth, man, that ain't God. And Jesus, you know, after he rebuked him, he came back and he loved up on him. He said, listen, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What price would you pay for your own soul? That's one of the most challenging things in making Jesus Lord, is we don't deny ourselves. You know, you have an opportunity to turn the other cheek, but your feelings and your emotions and your senses won't allow you to. Now you clap back. You had an opportunity. The Spirit of the living God was telling you, don't say nothing, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. Keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. And you open your mouth anyway. And it got you in all kinds of trouble, because you won't deny yourself. Your husband just said something to you that, just put you on 1,000. And you had an opportunity not to clap back, not to say something back and meet him where he is, but you chose not to, because my feelings are more important to me than honoring God. My feelings are more important than honoring God. My feelings. You ain't going to talk to me like that. Oh, no, no. You ain't going to do that to me. Oh, no. And Jesus said, deny yourself. You got, you and I, we have to die to us. We got to die to us. Because Lord knows that there's some, I want to say some things. Quite frankly, I want to do some things. But then those things that I say or those things that I do don't honor God. And my lifestyle should worship God. And the only way my lifestyle can worship God is I got to deny myself. I got to surrender unto him and his will. Because I found out that the God is the only person that's in my tomorrow today. He's the only person that's in my tomorrow today. He already knows what's next. And now I'm acting out of my feelings and my emotions because I want to make myself feel good, but I'm turned down a creation of God Almighty. Now I'm dishonoring myself, but more importantly, I'm dishonoring God. Amen? We have to learn to deny ourselves. I know you want that other pork chop. I know you want that extra scoop of ice cream. But you know you're not supposed to have it. You know you're not supposed to have that biggest slice of cake, if any at all. Where's your willpower? Or is it just your willpower? Or have you submitted yourself unto him? I know she looked good. I know he looked good. I know he does. You don't have to act on it. Where's your willpower? Or have you taken your willpower and submitted it unto his willpower? Have you made him Lord? Because if you made him Lord, you wouldn't cuss your wife out. You wouldn't cuss your husband out. You wouldn't show up to work late every day. My lifestyle should worship God. Others should see you and I as born-again believers and know that there's something different about us. Not in a strange way, but in a good way. Because the Bible calls us peculiar people. We've been called out of darkness and placed into his marvelous light. We're chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's who I am. Not because I am, but that's because he says I am. Glory to God. Not because of anything that I've done, but by his grace and his mercy, I am. Just who he says I am. I have exactly what he says I am to have. And I will do exactly what he's called me to do. Amen? And then number three, being led by the Spirit. I've been kind of talking about that already, being led of the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, and look at verse number 14. Romans 8 and 14. If you have not read the book of Romans, it is a very impactful book, full of God's wisdom. Glory to God. 8 and 14. Verse 14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. or as many, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You and I have to have faith to be led by the Spirit. You and I have to have faith to be led by the Spirit. You got to trust God to be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus went away and he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a helper. The Bible calls him the great Paracletos, the Holy Spirit of the living God, that he's poured into you and I as believers. I can go to the Holy Spirit of the living God who dwells on me, and his duties and responsibilities, watch this, is to lead and guide you and I into all truth. He's our helper. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our standby. He's our comforter. If you had the greatest counselor that you could call at any hour of the day to get advice and wisdom on any subject matter, and they knew about it, not only did they know about it, but they knew how to appropriate it into your life so that you can miss some of these things in life that hold you back or drag you down, would you call on that person? If they gave you carte blanche and said, call me anytime, and it didn't cost you nothing to call them but a level of obedience. That's the challenge for a lot of us, because we ask, but then when it doesn't happen at the rate we want it to happen, now we pull back, and now we want to put our hands in, because now I got to make something happen. My back is up against the wall. I got to make something happen. Well, how did your back get up against the wall? It did not happen overnight. It takes time to build good credit. It takes a matter of moments to tear it all down. And so, remember I said your words are seeds. What have you been saying? How did you get to the place that you're at today? Based on your choices, based on your decisions that you made. Good, bad, or indifferent. They're your decisions. They're my decisions. Every one of them. But if I take my decisions and I go to my helper and I inquire of him as to what I should do, because he already knows everything about everything, especially about my situation that I'm coming to him about. And now all I got to do is hold my horses and wait till I hear from him. And watch this. If I don't hear from him, I'm not pulling the trigger on the thing that I'm thinking. Because I heard this said, if it's my will, it's going to be my bill. I'm going to have to pay that invoice. If it's God's will, it's God's bill. It's his responsibility. And every day I wake up and I look outside and I see there's still a heaven and there's still an earth, I know that not one jot or tittle of his word has failed. Amen. Be led of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Again, another passage of scripture that has, oh, a ton of wisdom. Look at verse number 16. Verse number 16. And it says, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, and it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Be led by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Let him lead you. Before you go and pull the trigger and buy that big house, talk to God first. Let him lead you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, comes from above, from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. All the promises of God are yes and amen. No good thing will he withhold from you and I. No good thing. So why wouldn't I go to him and inquire of him if I should pull the trigger on this or not? Before I go buy that house, before I marry her, before I marry him, get my emotions and my feelings out of the way and go to the Creator, the one who, in Jeremiah 29:11, said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He already has an end and desire for you and I. He already has it. But no, we got to go off how we feel. We got to do our thing. R.B. Singing back in the day said, it's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But be led by the Spirit. Make Jesus Lord. Deny yourself. That's a big one right there. You know, that's a big one. You can't make Jesus Lord without denying yourself. You can't. You can't say he's Lord and do what you want to do or how you feel you want to do. You can't. They go hand in hand. And you really can't deny yourself without being led by the Holy Spirit. Make Jesus Lord. Deny yourself. Be led by the Spirit. When you accomplish those things, now the Word is infiltrating your life. Now that's what's getting into your heart. And now when pressure times come upon you, the Word is what's going to come out of you. That's a whole nother level of living. You've been living down here, this level, and you thought this was good. You want better, but you thought this was good. I can live with this. But I'm telling you, dear heart, there's another level of living that you can go to that supersedes this living, this level. Well, how can you say that, preacher? I can only tell you what the Word says. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, he can't do exceeding abundantly in our lives if we don't allow it. And to allow it means I've got to submit. I've got to make Jesus Lord. I've got to die to myself. I've got to deny myself. And I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Heavenly Father, your word has gone forth on this evening, just as you've given it unto me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing back to remembrance so many other things that you had shared with me to share with your people that I did not even have in my notes. Thank you. And Father, I thank you for those that have heard your word, Father. Your word has gone forth to us and to them. And Lord, I pray that they will take your word and it will profit them because they've mixed it with faith They stand strong on your word. They've made you their rock-solid foundation that they're building their lives on. And when the storms of life come and the challenges in life come, Father, that they're standing tall and standing strong. They will be like the three Hebrew boys. They will not look, smell, appear like what they've been through. Father, I do thank you. I thank you and praise you for it now. I lift up our host, Reverend Ray Rose, Father. I thank you that every need of his is met, Father. I thank you, Father, that no good thing will you withhold from him, Father. I thank you that the Holy Spirit of the living God is revealing things to him, Father, fresh revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, anoint him afresh, Father, that he may continue to do the work that you've called him to do, Father. Now, Satan, I remind you of your permanent place where you have no dominion, no power, no authority over us, over our thoughts, over our words, nor over our actions. Because we are the blood-bought, blood-washed children of the Most High God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We've been called out of darkness and placed into our God's marvelous light. And, Father, I thank you that when men and women see your children, Father, that they will see you, Father. And, Daddy, we give you all praise, we give you all glory, and we give you all honor. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Brother Ray.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor Cleophas. Man, what an awesome word, an awesome closing of the series. And building a word-cultured life, part three. Now, I do want to let those know that if you missed part two or part one, you can always go back and listen to it on WhenChristiansSpeakTalkRadio.com, okay? WhenChristiansSpeakTalkRadio.com or WhenChristiansSpeak.com, okay? You can also listen to it on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and just name a few. We're going to play that announcement in a few minutes on a different platform. You can go back and listen to the whole series. And in those platforms, you will be able to share. So, Brother Cleophas, man, Pastor Cleophas, man, thank you for an awesome word, an awesome series, man. And you like that sometimes when you're preaching, God, you drop a thing, nuggets into your spirit that's not in your notes when you write about it.
Yes, sir. no doubt
amen.
About it.
So, no doubt about it.
Great
job. We're going to... Amen. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. He's already closed the prayer. If you would like to get in contact with Brother Cleophas, you can reach him at Kingdom Principles Ministry 23@gmail.com. Okay? Kingdom Principles Ministry @gmail.com. Amen. So y'all be blessed, and we'll see you next month. Amen. God bless. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Ray. God bless you all. Amen.
All right. Amen.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7.